You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
Hey, I'm Brett.
And I'm Steven.
And we are
the Broadway Husbands.
We're just your all-American married couple making their living in the arts and pursuing a growing family. On the Broadway Husbands podcast, we offer advice from our ordinary lives under extraordinary circumstances.
We are living proof that you can love who you love and love what you do. Make sure you subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss our weekly episodes. And if you really love us, make sure you leave a review on whatever podcast platform you listen to us on. Take a screenshot and tag us on Instagram at Broadway Husbands.
Members of our Patreon get exclusive access to behind-the-scenes videos, blogs, and other perks, including free apparel and so much more. To become part of our Patreon family, go to patreon.com/Broadway Husbands.
All right. Hello, listeners. Welcome to another episode. We are so excited. We actually have guests this week.
It's been a while since we've had guests.
It has actually been a while.
Yeah. So it's actually, it's a lot of fun. I mean, I love you and I love talking with you about all the things we talk about, but I'm so glad to have today's guests here.
I am too, because I've followed both of them for quite some time, and they make beautiful content online, beautiful couple, and there's a lot of really cool things happening in their lives. So I'm just going to get right down to it. Welcome to the Broadway Husbands podcast, Taylor Phillips and Jeff O'Donnell.
Yay!
So excited to be
here.
Yeah,
thank you so much for having us. That was just such a, I'm like blushing at the intro, so thank you.
Yes, nice to meet you guys. Nice to be here. Thanks for having us.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I see that you're in your new home. So, when did you purchase this new home that you've been renovating, and now you just put in a pool? What's this beautiful place that you're in?
Yeah. Okay. So, I guess we weren't really looking for a new place. But, you know, over the summer when we couldn't really like travel far, we were introduced to this town, by your best friend. Mm-hmm. So we came and visited all summer, fell in love with it, and like happened to come across this little house that was like a perfect fit for us. And we were like really itching for a fun quarantine project at the time. And we said, why not buy it and fix it up? And honestly, it's been like the most rewarding thing to have something to do when we don't have a ton of other stuff to do. Like we can't travel, we can't, you know, go to big events, you guys know. So
yeah. So we bought the house, we put in our offer end of October. Or we put in an offer in September. We closed on the house October 30th. Renovations started through us October 31st. Renovations started with our contractor on December 7th, and then we moved in on March 15th. So it's been quite the very quick, wild ride.
The longest and shortest process.
Yeah. it has been a true whirlwind, and everything people say about renovations is true, plus some, that it's going to be more expensive than you expect, and that it's going to, maybe that's the only thing I know that people say, but that part is true. Yeah. But we've had such a great time renovating it, and it has been such a cool experience to watch our ideas come to fruition in such a large scale. We did everything ourselves. We did the architectural plans. We obviously had a professional draw them up, but they were our ideas. We picked all the finishes. We had, you know, so this is our baby, and to watch it come to life at this grand of a scale has been a very, very wild experience.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations. Yeah. Well, before we
I want to say, do you have an apartment? You got rid of your apartment in the city. So what has the adjustment been like just to be out in the suburbs or out in wherever you are that's not in New York City? How is the adjustment?
It's nice. I'll first start by saying it's so funny that we share so much, like that, you know, that we gave up our apartment because I vocally put our entire lives online.
Yeah.
I personally have not thought about the city once, because also the city doesn't exist the way that we all know and love it as well. I've gone back. I try to go back once a week for a few things. And when I have gone back, it's just not the place that we fell in love with in the first place. So the adjustment for us has been fairly easy because we don't feel like we're missing out. We don't have that FOMO, but also, you know, we wake up to the sound of the birds chirping and the sun coming in, and we go on a walk to the water with our dog. And so it's
also like the little things for me. Like some of the biggest aha moments are like going to a grocery store and like the size of the shopping carts, like being able to like put, like I could fit you in that cart.
Right.
Whereas it's like, you know, a Whole Foods like double tier, you can fit like two carton of eggs and that's
right.
Also like being able to put a pot in the sink.
Yes.
And like also maybe some glasses, and I don't have to like do the dishes immediately following a meal because there's enough room.
Yeah.
It's like the little country moments.
Yeah. It's a weird adjustment because it truly is a totally different world. It's the little things that are so you don't realize you miss in the city, that you come out into the quote unquote suburbia, and it's like, oh, I have a sink that I can.
You have a garbage disposal?
So, funny
hot topic,
enough,
hot topic.
So, we don't have a garbage disposal because the town that we live in is all, there's no central sewer system. So, everyone's on septic tanks. Which we won't get into with that.
right.
That's a different episode.
That's like an extra podcast. But it's, so it's, no garbage disposal is what I'm trying to say. We bought one, yes. So if you need one for your place, let us know. We bought it and couldn't install it because it's just a different system.
Yeah. I feel like we're on like a summer vacation.
Yeah.
And because like we have every intent to go back to New York City, like once Broadway's back, that's like how I really think the city's gonna come alive again. So this just feels like a school summer vacation that we're just away at camp or something.
Sure.
Yeah. 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 I keep saying, I feel like I'm playing hooky from my life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, yeah. I mean, that's how I feel too. It feels like, because I feel, I grew up in the Midwest. I'm from Indiana. So when I was growing up, I never had this idea of living this city life because I never actually left home until I was 17. So I always grew up with this idea of living in a home and making a home and being very, very that. And now that that's here, the city feels like the vacation, the cool experience. Like this feels like this is real life. And the city is like, we're fun, young and cool. And like, we can do whatever we want in the city. But this to me, this is home.
I feel like
feels like home.
It feels like we've aged 20 years.
Because of the house or the pandemic?
I don't like, because we're growing like seedling tomato plants from scratch.
Yeah, I've gone full Martha Stewart. I'm like, I've got my drill. You can see literally the drill right here. Because I was doing, built two beds yesterday. I'm just like, you know, I'm living my butch dream.
Wait, so let's go back a little bit and just tell, for people who are listening who don't know who both of you are individually, and then we can talk about you as a couple. Tell a little bit, Taylor, start with you. Tell our listeners a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Yes. Well, I'm Taylor. I am 27. What do I do? I moved to New York in 2017 to pursue a modeling career, and luckily had success there. And I that's what I started doing. In that time, social media was still, I mean, social media was around, so it was still popular and everyone was sort of on Instagram or Facebook or whatever. But it was when I started seeing people making money off of Instagram for not really doing much. And I was like, well, I can do that. I can, and I can do it better. And I can, and, you know, and I always live by this quote of, be the person you needed when you were younger. So when I saw the opportunity to live my life pretty openly online. I kind of jumped at the opportunity because I knew there would be some kind of visibility to that. And so when I was coming out and I was coming to terms with who I was, I didn't know where to look and I didn't have anyone that I felt like I could look up to. And so really what started out as I'm going to try to make money off brand deals and see what I can do on Instagram has fully turned into a community building platform that I'm so fortunate to make a living off of, but also to connect with people from all over the world with from different walks of life. And so I guess I create content now, but on the bigger picture, it's more of a community building that I like to do. My favorite thing in the world is connecting people with each other, whether they talk to me ever again or not. The fact that I can build relationships for other people is super impactful, I think. And so, yeah, that's sort of what I do now. Mostly I play with the dog all day and
in your drill, but your
yeah, drill. I play with my drill.
All these euphemisms, my gosh.
Yeah.
What about Jeff? Tell us about your background.
Yeah. So I grew up in New Jersey, so a bit different than Taylor. I was like always close to New York City. I had access to like, you know, performing, I guess, which is how like I sort of fell in love with like acting. Yeah, I was, you know, I booked like my first professional acting job when I was 16. It was a Nerf gun commercial, one of my proudest moments. And then, you know, I like went to school in New York City.
Where'd you go?
I went to Fordham University.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You're giving the long spiel. I should have done better at talking about
you did great.
I should have done you and you should have done me.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh yeah.
Next episode. Okay, so then fast forward, I studied business, like something completely different from like performing. And then met Taylor, and like Taylor was like already sort of doing this social media situation, and I was like, stop taking pictures of me. Yeah, I was eating dinner. I don't know. Like, it was just like a very foreign concept to me. Like Taylor, like naturally, like would share much more, right?
Yeah. Thanks for asking. I never took pictures of you.
You know what I mean?
I asked. Well, no, because yeah. I knew getting into a relationship with someone who does openly share a lot of themselves online. So when Jeff and I started dating, I asked him, yeah. you know, do you want to be a part of this? And for a very long time, there was like, you know, 4 or 5, 6 months before we ever even posted a photo together. And that was because I didn't want it to, you know, I didn't want people's opinions where it didn't really matter, especially while we were still in such the early stages of figuring it out together. And it is a weird, I mean, I feel weird about it still sometimes today about how I
share
what I share. Yeah. And so to bring someone else into that, it was a conversation that we had and we opted to hold off on a bit.
Yeah.
But then, Jeff, were you making content at all yourself, or like how much were you sharing your own? So you were like zero.
No.
Like zero sharing, or like what kind of sharing were you doing?
Everywhere, but I would like post like once a month of like, you know.
Yeah, the way a normal person uses Instagram.
Right. An audition. You're like at an audition or you're. Yeah.
Like not like daily content, but then, you know, what Taylor, the phrase Taylor mentioned before, like really resonated with me in that, like, you know, be someone that you could have used when you were younger. Because especially like, you know, I felt like when I was growing up, there wasn't someone that I really was looking up to be like, I want to live a life like that. And, you know, I look up to you and, you know, I aspire to do the same kinds of things that, you know, this person does. So, you know, we decided if we could be that for like one person, it's worth it. Mm-hmm. That's what sort of brought us here today, I guess.
Yeah.
Wait. So, how did you
grabbing a dog toy?
Yeah. If you guys could see. Taylor's so did you chasing the dog in the background? So subject. Did you meet in reality, or did you know Taylor through social media before you met him in person?
Ooh, this okay. is good.
This is actually tell the full story because it's really crazy.
You have
this
is good.
No, it's
all right. So. The first time we ever met in person, we didn't realize it. We were at Is this where you were going with?
Yeah, but okay. I didn't know. You saw me.
Yeah. Okay. So
I was working a job
while I was auditioning at like this men's clothing startup, like a t-shirt company like that my friend started. So we were at a trade show at the Javits Center. And I was like working the booth, whatever, as one does. And then my coworker was like, oh, there's a really cute model down at, you know, this booth, modeling swimwear. Go take a look when, you know, you get a chance. So I like waltz down to where Taylor is. And I was like, you know, trying to like get his attention, catch eyes with him. He was giving me nothing.
That I was giving.
He didn't even look up at me. So I was like,
he was working.
He was working.
Sure.
I'm professional.
I was working. Right. And he was. But I was like, oh, he's not cute. Because I was upset that he wasn't even looking at me.
Classic. So that was what? That was like 2017.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then, you know, fast forward to like Instagram, blah, blah, blah. I noticed him on my Explore page. I was like, oh my God, this guy is so cute, whatever. Didn't do anything with it. And then he messaged me about, the plot thickens.
Oh no, I'm very direct and very, I just had never seen him. I hadn't gotten the opportunity to see him. So I was scrolling on Instagram back when the Explore page was like, you know, more like, thing, I don't know, whatever. So I was scrolling through and I see this guy and he was wearing a black sweater and I was like, oh, he's really cute, I'm gonna go look at his page. And so I was scrolling and I couldn't really tell if he was gay, first of all, let alone like that was really it, that's what I was looking for. And then I'm like, you know what, I got nothing to lose. So I send a DM and I just send two waving hand emojis. And I was like at home with my roommates that night and a couple hours passed and he hadn't responded. So I was like, I'm over this now. So I'm going to unsend the message. So I unsent the DM, which you can do if anyone who doesn't know that. This was prior to everyone knowing. I had my
educational.
So then the next morning I wake up to a DM from Jeff with two waving hands. So he had seen the message, but he chose not to respond. And then so we like hit it off then and we talked that entire day.
Because I had seen his profile before, like I thought it was like a spam account. I thought it was like someone using his pictures because I was like, there's no way this guy's messaging
me. Oh my God. very sweet.
I was out when I saw the message, so I had to go home and do my research and make sure, you know, it was actually
smart.
So yeah, we met like we chatted that entire day. It was very day. Like, you know, when you're first meet someone you like have a crush on, you're giddy, you're texting like nonstop. And so that was happening. And then that night we had crossed paths in the same neighborhood, like coincidentally, like literally crossed paths, which is like pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Especially because I lived in East Harlem at the time and we met in like near Lincoln Square. Mm-hmm. So yeah. And then we just took it from there.
Yeah. It was like an end of story there.
Yeah. The rest
of the story. There we go. Happily ever after, whatever you want to say.
Well, how do you, you know, what are some of the boundaries or like rules that you kind of live by, like trying to keep balance in your relationship while also creating content and sharing so much? Like, you know, I just know for us, you know, sometimes scheduling, it's crazy. Like we live together, right? And we spend so much time together, but scheduling things just between the two of us is difficult. So what are some of the things that you do to help your relationship stay balanced in this crazy content making, life sharing stuff that you do?
I think we have pretty differing opinions on this idea, so it'll be fun to talk about it. I am much more prone to sharing, just because I don't know. I feel like I've not like grew up online, but we all grew up in the age of being on our computers and on our phones and things like that. And for the most part, my entire existence out of after college or even since college has been being shared online. And so when it comes to our relationship, we obviously talk about everything before we decide to discuss anything publicly, but I am just much more likely to share our trials and tribulations with people because I think that's important. And I think a lot of people have this idea that, oh, you guys are so perfect. You guys mm-hmm. are so like great. I'm like, dude, we just like got into a bickering match over like the way the car was parked. You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. it's not that our relationship isn't great and amazing because it is, but it's the reality that we are two very different people that are learning to navigate as one unit and as a family. And that's difficult. And I think that more people need to know that not everything is as it appears online. And so we try to be pretty open, but as far as like the creating content, the scheduling, if you have any tips, let us know, because we're not good at, we have very different, you know, Jeff works full time and I do social media full time. So I have a much more lenient schedule and Jeff has a much more, 9-to-5 schedule. So trying to schedule things while also being like, okay, you just got off work. We're not going to film a video right when you just get off work. Let's spend some time together or let you relax or whatever. So the scheduling actually is really hard. And we never force ourselves to do anything for content creation purposes, because at the end of the day, we matter most to each other. And so if we're not in the mood or we don't have the time or whatever, then we're not going to hit the weekly YouTube video. We're not going to hit the Instagram post that you think needs to go up, because at the end of the day, that's not what's most important. And so we try to do it when we can. And by doing that, we are as intentional as we can be and as much ourselves as we can be, because no one wants to see us in bad moods on a YouTube video, because it shows. I wear my heart on my sleeve. So if I'm not feeling it, I'm not feeling it, and you're going to know. And so we avoid it.
He's laughing because that's like our life.
We've done stuff where
same thing. Where it's like we fought the cameras on and we're like, we're doing like, great.
Yeah. There's a giant helicopter over our house right now. Sorry. I was like, what's happening? Oh.
Wait, expand on that.
No, we're their guests.
No, but I want to hear.
Well, I just think that there's times where this is real life. You know, it's not like, and I think that you're right. I think that people have a perception of social media and it's very easy to only show things when they're good.
Right.
And so we will bicker about what the topic is, like what, or Steven's just gotten, I work from home. And so he's always coming back from work.
Right.
He teaches ballet for like 5 hours. So physically and vocally, cause he's been yelling, right, he's exhausted. And I'm like, we need to record a podcast. He's like, right. You know,
well, not just that, you know, it's like, or I'll give in to the idea. If he hasn't mentioned content creation, I'll just kind of like back off and I'll be like, oh, maybe he doesn't want to do something today. And then like, you know, by the end of the day, he's like, why didn't you say something? And I'm like, well, I mean, you didn't say you wanted to do it. So, you know,
literally us. And that's the thing is like, that's why I feel it is important to share those, even though they're silly and they're whatever. And maybe they're not like, this isn't going to get likes because they're fighting, whatever. Well, that's real life, people. Okay. This is real life. Social media is a snippet of what we choose to share. And we all know that, but it's still hard to conceptualize that there's more behind the photo or the video. But at the end of the day, like we are trying to figure this out the same way anyone else does. We do not have all the answers. Sure, we can make photos look great and we can share what we're eating for dinner and whatever, but like that doesn't mean that that's the only thing happening in our lives. This is like my favorite soapbox to be on, so I could
I love it
forever about the importance of trying to be as authentic as possible in the world of social media.
I really quickly too, I feel like one of our fights I can remember is it was either a YouTube video or maybe it was even a podcast where we started and he was like, you just do not have enough energy. You've got, you know, and that so is, then we restarted.
What's funny about that is I think all I said was, hey, we need more energy. And his perception.
Like, oh, okay. His perception. You want more energy? All right, I'll give you more energy. Like, I was so mad. Anyways.
Oh my gosh.
Enough about that. But yeah.
We do that.
It's a mirror.
Yeah, it's a mirror.
But that's the life of content creating. Jeff, how has the experience been for you having not really been a content creator for so much? Because I know as an actor, we want to preserve some of the mystique and, you know, be seen as versatile and stuff like that. Was it uncomfortable for you to kind of adopt this into your life more?
Yeah, because I think also like coming from that world of like auditioning where like you're on for when you're in the room, like I had the same, do you know what I'm saying?
Yes. Yeah.
I had the same attitude going into like filming a YouTube video or whatever we were doing.
There are so many videos that we've started and I'll click record and then he'll say something and I'm like, whoa, like what are you doing?
I feel like I'm a pageant girl. Like, and I mean, obviously we're not at this point anymore, but like in the beginning, I felt like everything had to be like so well groomed and rehearsed and like perfect. And now you'll see like we fight on camera and we will
fight.
Right. We'll bicker and like it's just real.
Yeah.
So that was like the biggest hurdle for me to get over, that like this isn't an audition. It's real life. It's like a glimpse into our life and everything doesn't have to be rehearsed because life isn't a rehearsal. Am I right?
Oh,
Broadway thing.
I don't know.
Isn't that in the prom? Life's no dress rehearsal.
Oh my gosh. Taylor.
Wow. I'm impressed, Taylor.
See how I'm grooming him?
Grooming is not the right word. Grooming like a bad? Like grooming means something different. Never mind.
Grooming's fine.
Okay,
just like getting you ready, preparing you, training you. Grooming.
I was like, maybe not that. Okay. Okay, great.
We won't go there.
Wait, so talk about your wedding. So I know you were planning a wedding.
Yeah.
And was it supposed to happen during the pandemic? It's been postponed. What's happening with the wedding?
Oh, it's actually, so we got engaged last January.
Pre-pandemic.
Who proposed to who? Whom?
He proposed to me.
Aww.
He proposed to Jeff. But yeah, we got engaged last January. And then even then we had planned, initially, we were getting married October 2021. When the pandemic hit, we just kind of reevaluated our idea of what we wanted our wedding to be, because A, weddings are not cheap, and B, we wanted to, if we were going to spend the money, we wanted to make sure it was going to go exactly the way that we anticipated, and there was no guarantee that that was going to happen. So our first option was the more, you know,
posh,
yeah, more upscale, like, wedding,
golf club, whatever. And then we were like, why are we doing this? This isn't really us. Like, right. Let's just like kind of rethink this. And I guess I shouldn't say.
I mean, it's not a secret, I don't think.
Okay.
The other thing too that this is back to the social media thing is Jeff is so funny about mentioning, like, he'll want to like say a brand name. He'll be like, oh, we're eating like Pop-Tarts, but he's like, I'm not saying Pop-Tarts. He's like, we're eating these pastries that have
that,
like, a
glaze. So
I'm like, babe, you can say Pop-Tarts. It's okay.
That's not true. I was going to say where we're getting married. Yeah. It's just, it's more meaningful.
It's a lot. Now. So we totally changed the vibe from this like black tie, like mansion wedding to a black tie wedding. Something that was just more us and had more meaning to us. So
yeah.
But yeah, with the wedding planning process really only started like a week ago, because the house has taken up all of our time and energy, and
we really need to shift focus.
We got lucky. So we got engaged in January. We put a bid on the house in September. So from January to September, we were in wedding mode. So we got all of our vendors locked down. We got the whole shell of it done. And now it's
details,
picking out what's going to be for dinner, what the colors are, what we're wearing, what our the vibe is,
what song I'm singing as I walk down the aisle
from the prom, right?
Right from the prom.
give it some zazz.
So it's it's been fun, but it's been fun, I will say, but when you're doing that in tandem with not only buying but renovating a house while also living in a pandemic, it's all just like so crazy that we're experiencing these huge life milestones in a time in the world that will hopefully change and not exist anymore, like this pandemic style life. Hopefully, once we're out of it, everything will be like normal again, but we're doing all this stuff in a time when it's just not normal.
Yeah. I'm really hoping that our wedding will be like the celebration, the kickoff of like normalcy. That's what we're hoping.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
We will send that energy your way for sure.
During the pandemic, what have you learned about each other that you didn't know before, now that you've spent so much time together?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Good things.
Yeah, of course, always. I feel like, I've said this before, but like being forced to spend 24/7 with each other for like over a year at this point, it also like aged our relationship or matured our relationship, because like not only did we, one, get to spend more time together, like I remember at the beginning, the first 3 months, we were like, oh my God, it's like a sleepover every night. Like, this is so fun. We would like sleep in the living room and like watch movies, and it was like so fun. But with that, you also like learn how to spend that much time with each other, which we've never done before, and how to like give each other space or like just coexist when you're constantly with the other person.
Yeah. And something that for me that was, or for us, that was kind of tough is, for me, I don't know if you guys know like the love languages, but my love language is quality time. And so quality time and time together are not the same thing in my mind. Quality time is intentional time spent doing something that, you know, is intentional. And the pandemic forced us to be together 24/7. And so for a while, figuring out what was quality time and what was just, we can't leave the house because bad things may happen. It was hard. It was hard figuring out where that went. And so we just had to intentionally like make date night, and we
like
would
a no phone date night.
Yeah. We would order our favorite foods, and then we would like make the house, like we would set the house up like it was a restaurant, or like we did some really cute stuff.
That's cute. Funny,
but it, you know, in the thick of it, it was like, when are we going to be able to leave again? So you really had to make it last and make it work. And I feel like for a lot of people, it was make or break. And luckily we, you know, so far still here,
still there. Got a house and a dog. I love that. So why do you think it's important that gay couples be visible online and with social media and all of that?
Loaded question, but I just think that visibility is so important, because I know firsthand how long I struggled to feel seen in the world. So when I first ever even had the thought that I might be gay, I was so confused because growing up, when I did realize that I was gay, I was so confused for so long because I wasn't Carson Kressley. That's literally the only gay person I can think of when I was growing up who I saw. Like, but no. she's lesbian.
I'm just saying those are the only gay representation
She's lesbian. So I growing up when I was like, well, maybe I'm not gay because I'm not like that. I'm not that guy. I'm not, you know what I mean? Like if that's all I saw and I didn't relate to that and that's what I associated gay with, of course I'm going to be confused. And so now that there's just other people out there that, you know, are similar to me, I felt more seen and I felt, okay, well maybe it's not just the, I don't really know what I'm trying to say. I just didn't feel like I fit into that overly flamboyant gay person when I was coming out. Now I'm like, catch me in some wigs and heels, all the time, whatever. When I was coming to terms with that, I was just very confused. And so that's why I think it's important because that confusion can lead to depression, to mental health issues, to, you know, suicide. Like, you know, there were times when I was growing up when I had no idea who I was and I did not know if I would ever figure it out. And so my actual like aha moment was when Gus Kenworthy came out on the cover of ESPN magazine. I was like, oh, this is someone who played sports their whole life, who is more masculine. And now I use the terms masculine and feminine a lot less because I know it's way different than, but when I was coming out, that's how I felt. You know, so that was the first time I felt represented. And now with access to social media and the people we've been exposed to, I can see myself a little bit in all of these people. And, but you know, when you're first coming out, when you don't know who you are, you need someone to guide you. And I felt like that didn't exist. And so that truly is why I even use my platform the way I do, because I just remember what it was like for me and I don't want anyone else to ever feel like that. So, you know, social media has its pros and cons, but that will always outweigh the negative comments or the DMs or whatever. That's it.
Like, yeah. The kid in whatever corner of the state, like that might, like seeing a post or a photo of a gay couple like us, like that might be the thing that keeps them going that day. And like that, yeah. It's not like an obligation, but like, I feel like, again, if we can make a difference in like one person's life and like ease their experience of coming out or feeling more comfortable with themselves, like it's
the DMs, the DMs that we get, that I get more so are, so make me like take a step back and I'm like, holy crap, like you think this of me, like I'm helping you get like, because even though this is what I'm setting out to do, when someone tells you that you're doing exactly what you're setting out to, but also how important it is to them, it's a really like odd experience because I was in your shoes. It's very weird. Because I feel so grateful to have a platform at all and to have someone to share it with and to be able to make a difference to anyone. I don't want to sit here and like, I don't want it to come across that we're like changing the world or we're, you know, masculine gay men need representation, whatever. That's not my MO. It's that I want to create a space where people feel seen. And if we can be ourselves, that's all we can do is be ourselves. And hopefully people see that and they're like, oh, I like to sing and dance around. Like I like, you know, I see myself in Jeff or whatever. And so that really is, that's why we do it.
Well said. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Now we're going to move on to a segment we call
Spotlight on Love.
Okay. So
is there
this segment? There is a jingle. It will play underneath.
There, that. Yeah. Oh, okay.
when you listen and share it with everyone. So we had someone write in and they want to stay anonymous. Mm. And this person said, I recently just survived a divorce and started dating. I'm trying to be cautious on apps and be selective. Last night, I went on a date with a gorgeous man who turned out not to be, I don't know how to say it, very smart. I'm definitely intellectual and this guy is so sweet, but I'm not sure if I can date someone who isn't very intelligent. Is that shallow of me? Should I still consider going out with him?
Who wants to start?
Go for it, Taylor.
I think it's yes and no. So I think if you're deciding that on one go, like mm-hmm. give him another shot. But if you keep going and you feel the same way, then it's not shallow at all. People have needs, and to have like those intellectual conversations, if that's something that you need that fulfills you and that person is not giving it, then they're not giving it. That's them and that's you, and that's, it doesn't have to work. And so move on.
I would say, again, I agree. I think it's too hard to tell on like a first date. I think, you know, there's so many other factors that can go into a first date, nerves, having a bad day. You need to give it like two or three times to really get a sense, ask them something they're really interested in and knowledgeable in to because that this person might also have a false sense of reality, and maybe they're not stupid. Maybe they just didn't have a huge interest in what they were talking about.
What are you talking like? Do you say, let's have an intellectual conversation?
No,
I'm saying on the first date to be able to determine if it's good enough or not. Was the person that wrote in like, let's be intellectual? You know what I mean? Like, it's like, it could have just not been the moment to showcase intellectuality. Is that a word?
Yeah, it is.
It's not always like, people sometimes aren't the best at like
maybe they're not good at math, but they took ballet for 20 years and they're killer at dance. Like that's intelligent. Maybe you're not like, you know, so I think it's good. Ask about a topic that they are interested in.
I like that. I mean, the thing that gets me is I'm like, they're with a gorgeous man. I'm like, well, if they're that gorgeous, like, yeah, go out with them again. Like, give them another shot. Like, clearly they've got something going on. Like, you might, you know, find something
like,
else.
And also, like, if you're just getting out of a divorce, like, why do you need to be intellectually stimulated? Just like, have fun.
Yeah. Stimulated, period.
Definitely.
I say go for the gorgeousness and just like see how long just you can handle it.
Yeah.
On one date at a time.
Yeah.
You got
totally
a week.
And
you got breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
That's true.
21 opportunities to find someone intellectual.
Yeah.
And also maybe, I mean, I can't speak for them, but if you're coming hot off a divorce, like, are you really looking for something super serious right now?
Anyway? Yeah.
So. Right.
True that. Yeah. True. That's some really good advice. If you, as a listener, want to get unqualified advice from us and our guests, make sure you shoot us a DM on Instagram at Broadway Husbands or check out BroadwayHusbands.com and shoot us an email. We would love to read your question out loud. And of course, you can always stay anonymous. We are happy to offer any sort of guidance if it's helpful. wow, what a treat getting to talk to the both of you and your beautiful dog from your new house. I can't wait to follow you as you settle into your new home and plan your wedding and all the exciting things that are coming your way.
And thank you so much for being here. And thank you for inspiring all the people out there that you inspire.
Oh, thank you so much for having us. Yes. Sorry, I tend to ramble, so sorry about that. But thank you for having us, and thank you for, you know, having a platform and using it to do things like this. I think that's super impactful.
Yes.
Thanks. And we're going to all come hang out at your pool soon. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, please. This is an entertaining house. So if you build it, they will come.
And tell our listeners where they can follow both of you at.
You can follow me on all platforms at Taylor J. Phillips. You can follow us on YouTube together at Taylor and Jeff.
And on Instagram, I am at Jeff O'Donnell.
Yeah. That's us.
All right. Thanks for listening to the Broadway Husbands podcast. Don't forget to subscribe. And while you're at it, leave a review on whatever podcast platform you listen to us on.
Don't forget to check out Broadway Life Apparel and our new designs that are released every month. Thanks to our Patreon patrons. Don't forget to join our family by going to patreon.com/Broadway Husbands.
And a big shout out to the Broadway Podcast Network. Go to bpn.fm/husbands to check out the wide array of Broadway themed podcasts for your listening pleasure. And on this podcast, we encourage you to love who you love
and love what you do.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.